This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin back in Las Vegas. Do we have a shot, Kelly, of Danny Higgins?
Oh yeah, we do. Trying to push Dave Ross, Captain America, out of his job. Watch out, Dave. Danny's coming for you this weekend. Yeah,
happy
look at
4th
that
of July. Danny Higgins.
He's ready to rage.
Is that a bandana he's wearing? It's hard to see.
I know he's got a Stars and Stripes bandana there. I know he's going to be at a pool party barbecue tomorrow. So Danny Higgins on 4th of July should be in rare form tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
Can I give a shout out here? I'm doing this show this week. This is the first time we've ever done this, right? 9.5 years of a numbers game. This is the first time I've ever. Oh, that's not true. During the pandemic, I did shows from San Francisco also.
Yeah.
But this is the first time non-pandemic we've ever done shows from elsewhere. And someone asked me the other day on Twitter, hey, what are your favorite three spots in the marina specifically? Because we overlook the marina here. So I tried to think off the cuff of a couple places in the marina. I gave a breakfast burrito spot, a sushi place. But tonight, me and Deborah Song, fashion stylist, we are going to, I always say this because it's one of the first meals I ever had when I moved to San Francisco. And I always say, if there is ever a day where I leave, it will be my last meal in San Francisco. We are having it tonight. It is a place called Tan Long. It is out by the Pacific Ocean. There's a place called Crustacean that ended up happening more in, you know, close by here in the middle of the city. And then there's one in Beverly Hills, but the original is Tan Long. It is a place that specializes, Kelly, in Dungeness crab and garlic noodles.
Vietnamese.
It is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
We're going to be there tonight.
This looks pumped. Damn good. Danny and I will hop on a flight after the show. We'll see you in a few hours.
See you in a few hours.
Yeah, make it for four.
Make it for four. I will.
This Chris looks really Heath. Good. Yeah, you're going to enjoy this.
Oh, dude. It's the greatest thing ever. Chris Heath, I took a quick jaunt to Reno and signed up for Millions. The proxy said I was like the second entry this year. My favorite part of the trip was chatting with the fraternity in the sports book and at the tables, meaning other sports bettors, as we were just discussing. And Spike Magruder, Yankees, last 15 games, worst team in the American League, 4-11. Woof, tied for worst in MLB. By the way, it should be also pointed out because we're doing the monthlies. As soon as midnight struck June 30th, or I guess let's say midnight, the morning of July 1st, the Marlins decided to suck again.
Yep. Yeah, what are they giving up, like 42 runs in over two games?
Not quite that much, but you get the idea.
You know what? My spyglass, Danny, that's what I was just looking at you for. I really need my spyglass. I was trying to check the entry count out there in the board, and a good thing I went to the eye doctor the other day because I think the prescription needs an update. I can't read how many entries we have. It's more than two, though.
Did you have a golf thing you wanted to say, Kelly?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to update. So just John Deere Classic, Zach Johnson, still in the lead. One shot lead. He is 9 under par over Tom Kim, who I might have bet, Lucas Glover, Zach Blair, and Chris Goddard, who I might have bet. But this is Zach Johnson. If he wins this event, Zach Johnson just turned 50, started playing Champions Tour golf this year, has won twice on the Champions Tour already this season. So I started thinking when we had Fleek on and I was asking him, I'm like, man, do you remember the last time somebody won same season, won on the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour? And I had to go back and I thought there was someone we were forgetting past 10, 12 years probably where some of these guys have gotten a little older and gone over there. No, there's only three guys that have ever done it. Last one, Fred Funk in 2007. Then it's Craig Stadler and Raymond Floyd. Only three guys that have won PGA Tour and Champions Tour in the same season. So pretty amazing. And Zach Johnson, this is definitely, I mean, this is an easy course. We talked about it the other day, how easy this is. You got 8 consecutive years of 16 under or better winning this. It becomes a putting contest. So it is a course I think he could win at. This will be fun to watch through the weekend.
Fred Funk. Was he a University of Maryland guy, or am I just making that up?
I have no idea where Fred Funk. Let's see.
By the way, what a great name, Freddie Funk. Okay, Let's get to I promised. Now, here's the thing with some of these things. Kelly's always scouring this stuff. So sometimes we're going to have really well thought out bets. Sometimes you just kind of throw them up there to look at and you're like, you know, it's okay that there's no real bet here.
You're so annoying. Yes. University of Maryland. I am so tired of working with Gil Alexander with the, am I wrong or is it this? And I go to double check it. And 98% of the time it's dead on right.
Well, I grew up there. So that's how I do that. American League West, again, log jam. Once again, atop the American League West here as we head towards the All-Star break. It is our Texas Rangers. By our Texas Rangers, we have the pre-flop season win total over on them. They are in a tie with the Seattle Mariners, who most people had and was the pre-flop division favorite. They're both 45 and 43. The Astros are 2.5 back at 43 and 46, and the Athletics are 3.5 back at 41 and 46. Angels, the only team not created like the others. And again, you can go through the strength of schedule. I don't think it's very meaningful. By the way, they're all on the easy half of remaining schedules, largely because they play each other. So there's not much difference there. I don't have a bet here, Kelly. I mean, as much as I want to say the Rangers, because it will sort of corroborate my season win total over, do I trust them? Maybe, but plus 170 is not a good enough bang for my buck to play that. The Mariners, who I presume, you know, I, like many, believe they are probably the best team. I'm not playing them because I don't necessarily trust them. I had them one of the months this year. They're not a very fun team to deal with on a day-to-day basis. The Astros are 6-1, and you're like, well, shouldn't that be a bet? I don't really trust their pitching. Mm-hmm. So there's no bet in the end, and it's okay to not bet all of these, but it's interesting to look at.
Yeah, my first thought, and it sounds like you're kind of saying the same thing. My first thought on this one was all these numbers feel about right. And that's kind of where I was at on it. So I'm with you. There's not anyone that really jumped out to me on this.
Athletic 16-1. Yeah, no, can't do it. But I did again. Yankees in the AL East might be the call on all those.
Like you double that number. Yeah, you talk. Give me 25, 30-1. I'm interested in that A's price, right? Like, yeah,
I'd be interested.
Astros is 10-1. I'm probably interested. Mariners is plus money. I'm interested. Does it all feel pretty right?
It's July 3rd, so of course we did a whole segment on the hot dog eating contest. So we're just sort of scouring other things. But football will be here soon enough next month. Preseason football. Let's let that sink in for a second. Next month, preseason football. When's the Hall of Fame game? Is that early August?
No, it's probably like in 4 days, and we just don't know about it. Yeah, it's always like It's always like the first week of August. Hall of Fame game, August 6th.
All right, so let's just look at some make miss playoffs here in the National Football League. We all did this for the guide. We picked all of our, not only our division winners, but our wild card teams. So I'm curious, Kelly, let's start with the AFC because your Buffalo Bills are involved in this. I'll tell you what my teams were in the guide, and then we could just go from there. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what yours are. I had the Ravens, Bills, Patriots, Chiefs, Texans, and Broncos as my – oh, wait, that's only – yeah, is that – no, that was only six that I mentioned. Oh, okay. So I left out one. Who did I have as my seventh? I don't even remember now who my seventh was. But I know I had Ravens, Bills, Patriots, Chiefs, Texans, and Broncos as six of my seven. Those are all minus prices for making the playoffs. The closest in terms of the shortest, I should say, of those, the Texans at minus 180. I had them winning the AFC North. The Broncos I had as a wild card at minus 140. Those are the shortest of the bunch. I think the Jaguars were my other wild card at plus 110. Well, yeah, Danny tells me it is the Jaguars. Plus 110 is the yes on them. So I don't know, you know, who did I leave out, in other words? I guess that's the better question to ask. I left out the Bengals, who are minus 186, yes, plus 154, no. And I left out the Chargers, minus 168, yes, plus 140, no. Who did you have?
Yeah, just had to pull this up to make sure we had it right. I have, from the guide, division winners, Bills, Bengals, Jaguars, Chargers, wild cards, Ravens, Patriots, Chiefs.
Yeah, so we differed on the Bengals and Chargers, in other words.
Yes, yeah. We did. So who am I leaving out? I'm leaving Broncos out.
Yep.
And I'm leaving Texans out. Yep.
Yeah.
Which Texans was one of the no prices that I circled. And I don't know. The problem is it's a jammed AFC, right? There's nine teams. We basically just went over seven spots that you feel are pretty dang good here. The Texans, it's one of the ones I did highlight to talk about. The problem is that when you have a defense that good, Gil, right? Like, I do think they're going to be, I think they're going to be close. So I don't know that I'm running to bet their no price on or to miss the playoffs at plus 150. I do like the Jaguars price, but I have them winning the division. I actually think I'm going to end up betting them to win the division. So I don't think I will be adding them in the make playoffs market, but I do like that. I just like the longer price for them to win the AFC South. And then the one that is jumping out to me, Gil, and I think I might bet this, Steelers to miss the playoffs, -160.
To miss. Yeah, yes, to miss. Yeah. So that was the other way I was going to put this. So let's reverse this. So obviously there's 16 teams in the conference. We touched on nine of them between you and me. The seven at the bottom, and we'll do them from best to worst in terms of the market, make miss. Steelers, Colts, Titans, Browns, Raiders, Jets, Dolphins. You and I believe none of those teams is going to make the playoffs.
No.
Don't have a chance.
Who would you be least surprised by if they did?
Colts, just because of the division.
Me too.
Yeah. But it should be noted once again, 23 different VSiN personalities did this exercise in the guide. Not one single one of the 23 had the Steelers winning the division, which isn't much of a surprise, but didn't have the Steelers even as a wild card.
Wow.
Which is pretty amazing in our VSiN NFL betting guide. We'll talk NFC as well. Paul Carr on the World Cup coming back on a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
$30 million in guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season in Las Vegas with three, count them, three circus sports contests. Entry starting at $1,000, all with no rake whatsoever. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool, circa million. 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, pick one winner each week. Last one standing wins. And of course, Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers, $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed. Visit circusports.com for details. It's amazing, man.
Over three spectacular. Yeah, over 2,200 already signed up for Survivor.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's ahead of pace, right?
I think so. It feels like a lot this early.
We get tweets beating the book. Ray in Texas, very pumped about your parlay, by the way, Kelly. LFG, he says.
I forgot to tell you this off the air, Gil, but you know, the conversations you and I have of, I don't think I got a single tweet asking me to repeat any golf bets this week. I got about five tweets asking me to repeat that parlay, though.
Isn't it amazing?
It's wild.
It's amazing. Tycoon Sports on Twitter. Thanlog is the best. Everyone loves crustacean, but few know this spot is better. The jumbo prawns on top of garlic noodles with a full crab on the side. Heaven on earth. Mm. It is absolutely heaven on earth. Scrabble Star. Gil, I've had my fill, parentheses, exclamation point, of Nathan's dog contest over the years. The show I'm waiting for is the one that follows the contestants for a few hours after the competition. Viewer discretion advised. I'm only 30 minutes in today via the Sirius app.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that.
No, I don't want to watch that.
I don't want to know what happens for 2 days after that contest.
Kenny Dillingham Sexual. He says it's Groundhog Day on a numbers game. Gil and Kelly fading the Steelers. See you in the playoffs again, fellas. I should not get coupled with Kelly for this. Kelly is a perennial fader. I am not a perennial.
I didn't do it last year. I don't believe I had any negative Steelers bets last season. But like the five seasons before that, I did.
Oh, and Golden Horseshoe lets us know. He said Phil Mickelson won the 2021 PGA and senior events the same year.
So that
that's
was
not
the,
exactly what.
That was the one that we were trying, Chris and I were trying to figure out. Okay, good to know.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, World Cup once again today, the final round of 32 triple header. And that begins, because remember, these times are all staggered from day to day. Today's triple header begins at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, which gives us time to talk to Paul Carr about the triple header today. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, the Emperor of True Media Networks, Paul Carr. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm good. I have a story that you've sort of inspired here, Gil, with my daughter.
Oh, thank you. Story time.
So she's not a huge sports fan, but she'll still watch some soccer. She likes the pageantry, all this stuff. And her favorite thing is penalty kicks. So I've got her to the point where, hey, what are you hoping to happen in this game? Who are you rooting for? And because she wants penalty kicks, she wants nothing to happen and the game to stay a draw. So I have trained her to say, I'm rooting against human achievement.
Oh, that's awesome.
There you go.
Yeah.
That is so,
so
great.
She was leaving the house this morning. Going to with a grandma, something, asking, are you going to watch Egypt, Australia? And she said, I'm rooting against human achievement in that one. Well, that's great.
Making an impact on the youth of today.
That's right.
That's all I can
ask for.
Oh, our work is done here. That actually makes my day, Paul. Thank you for that story. Okay, before we get to your plays, I'll ask you the same thing that we sort of talked with Felica about earlier, our buddy Chris Felica, which is Portugal, Croatia yesterday. First Ronaldo offsides on what could have been the equalizer by, you know, part of his body. And then obviously Portugal up 2-1. First of all, I think the penalty was correct in the box. I think you have to call that. But then Portugal up 2-1, the offside determined by a chip grazing. So the chip comes into play. If we don't have that chip, you agree with me that it probably stands?
I didn't see anything on the replay that clearly indicated that the Croatia guy touched the ball. Maybe, but like the spin didn't seem to change, anything like that. So I think it would have stood were it not for the chip.
Yeah. And do you love that offsides is being called this way? Do you as a soccer hardo hate this? Where do you stand?
Generally, I'm for it. I mean, because offside is kind of a black and white thing. It's different than like the penalty on Balogun for the U.S., where there is obviously a lot of gray area. Offside is, I mean, you're offside or you're not. And all the technology is doing is just revealing the margins that were already there. So offside with the technology, the chip, the lines, all that doesn't bother me much.
Okay. So three games today, Australia, Egypt, Argentina, Cape Verde, Colombia, Ghana to determine the final three spots in the round of 16. You're not touching these with bets?
I did come around to one. The under in Colombia, Ghana has moved quite a bit. It was around open around minus 150, minus 160. And now it's minus 135, minus 125. I like it in that range because Ghana is just going to muck this one up. That's what they've done the whole tournament. Just real strong defense. And Colombia, while they're a really good team, they're not necessarily a we're going to hang five on you type of team. So I think Colombia wins this, but 1-0, 2-0 seems right in the wheelhouse. So now that it's minus 135, or I've seen minus 125s out this morning, which I played, I do like that in Colombia, Ghana.
Tell your daughter, we are really betting on you know, going against human achievement in that one.
That's right. For sure. She'll love it.
All right. Tomorrow, though, you do like a play in our first of the round of 16 doubleheaders. What do you got?
Yeah, we'll start Morocco, Canada. And this is my classic. Take the better team, for goodness sake, here. Minus 120 for a Morocco win or so. And Morocco is way better than Canada. I know Canada, you know, they blitzed Qatar, but that was a nine-man team they were playing. They got by South Africa. That was pretty close. Morocco really dominated. Dominated might be a little strong, but they outplayed Netherlands for sure. And this is a good Morocco team. This is different than they were 4 years ago, where they were kind of the classic underdog. Now they're used to being the favorite. They have better players, better strategy. So they're very comfortable with the ball, which they'll have a lot of against Canada. And Canada is just, you know, battling a lot of injuries. They're not a high-powered team. So just taking Morocco to win this one in the 90 minutes is my play here. I got it at minus 125, I think. Might be a little better number out there.
What was Felica's comments when Morocco was winning in penalty kicks? He was like, can these two teams just play again instead of Morocco having to play Canada?
Correct. Yeah. Give me a best of three Morocco, Netherlands rather than Canada and South Africa. One of those getting through.
All right. And then Sunday, you got a couple plays, including Norway, Brazil. Let's start there.
And can I just say first, like, this slate on Sunday is, this is the World Cup. You got Norway, Brazil, which is, you know, to boil it down, like Erling Haaland against Brazil. And you've got Mexico, England, which is probably the number one game I wanted to see this whole tournament. But I'll start with Norway, Brazil. Yeah, I've been fading Brazil and it hasn't worked super well, but they did really struggle against Japan. Norway is a little better than Japan. And I still think that Brazil midfield is, we saw it give them a lot of trouble. That's how Japan got their first goal, going right through that. Norway can do the same thing. Obviously, they have Erling Haaland, who has played these Brazilian center backs who are pretty good, really good. He's played them a lot and scored against them a lot. So that's not going to intimidate him. So I like Norway on the double chance. I got it at -110, I believe. So win or draw, get to the 90 minutes. I think Norway does. There's an outside chance Brazil's starting to figure things out and will start rolling, but I haven't totally seen it yet. And until I do, I will probably keep fading them.
Let's go.
All right,
Norway, and then, baby. Fire it up. I played both teams to score, yes, because Erling Haaland's going to score.
I like it. Yeah. I like that, yeah.
Paul, if Norway plays the United States in the World Cup final, Kelly's allegiance is very much up for grabs.
Yeah,
I don't know what's happening.
It is.
I hope we run into that problem. That would be amazing.
I hope we do too. By the way, I love the Paul Carr analogy again, extended for the Team USA. We have parred this tournament. It is, what did you say, on the green on a par 5-2 currently. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So if we do par and go out in the round of 16, it's going to be a little bit disappointing given all the hype and how well they played. So yeah, it'd be a 3-putt from, I don't know, 20 feet or something like that. So yeah.
We got an eagle look, though. That's what it sounds like, an eagle look.
I know. They got a shot. Yep, for sure. Look.
All right, Mexico and England. You said it's the one you're most looking forward to. Can you describe why that is? Can you articulate that for us?
Sure, yes. I mean, the first thing is just the history. Because 1986 World Cup, England played at this same stadium, Estadio Azteca, against Argentina in the quarterfinals. And this is when Diego Maradona scored two of the most iconic goals in soccer history. The hand of God, where he punched the ball into the net and it wasn't called. And the goal of the century, where he dribbled around pretty much the whole England team from midfield and scored. So it's one of, again, two of the two most famous goals, whatever, in soccer history were in the same game. So England has all those ghosts that just hang over them, kind of like the smog at Estadio Azteca does. And you've just got England coming into this game from a soccer standpoint. They're going to elevation. They're going to smog. They're going to this cauldron that they have to play in that they don't have to do in Europe. I assume Mexico fans were just surrounding the hotel, honking whatever they could honk all night or will be before the game. They're going to have to deal with that. And this is an England team that has kind of struggled to break down good defenses. Mexico's defense has been pretty solid. I mean, you saw the way the fans got behind them against Ecuador, and that was just tremendous to watch. So this is going to be fabulous theater. I like the draw here. England is a better team. Mexico is at home. England's going to be dealing with the elements. I could definitely see this game just dying in the last 15 or 20 minutes when England is gassed and just trying to hang on and get to extra time. So I like the draw here. I bet you're on board with this at +215.
I'm on it. Thank you, Paul. Enjoy. Happy 4th.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This 4th of July, we're bringing back something we rarely do, a multi-year VSiN Pro subscription. Right now, you can get 2 full years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's access through July of 2028 at nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You get our NFL season betting guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and every betting guide, season preview, and VSiN Pro feature we release over the next 2 years. That's 24 months, but don't wait. The special 4th of July offer disappears after July 7th. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now to lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander in San Francisco, Kelly Billen back there in Vegas. We, you know, Kelly and I are pretty open with what we're talking about off air. And we started the show by talking about the association that we make between Smash Mouth and Sugar Ray,
yep,
two 90s bands. Xavier 82 commenting on Noops being on the show earlier when he brought up Steal My Sunshine by Len. He says, it's crazy I'll bring up Steal My Sunshine because I just had my 25th high school reunion last Saturday and we did a music trivia thing during it. And one of my few contributions was naming Len as the artist for that banger of a song. And then Noops chimes in and says, my only regret today is that I failed to mention this 90s one-hit wonder, Banger. Yes, and the crew knows that I love this song and also refer to it as a banger. New Radicals, You Get What You Give.
I forgot you
love that song.
I forgot like 9 months ago you wouldn't shut up about this song for like 3 days. It was stuck in my head for a week. Right. I'm gonna. You know what? I'm still going Len, Steal My Sunshine. I'm going to power rank these real quick, Gil, for songs, okay? Steal My Sunshine still on top, then the New Radicals, okay? And then, I don't know, the rest, throw. I don't know who's third. But those are the top two.
I'm gonna go New Radicals 1, Steal My Sunshine 2. Okay. But yes, Kelly just, by the way, Kelly described that perfectly. He wouldn't shut up about it for 3 days. And Rules for Society. Yo, are your hot dog picks going to be on the website? Yes, I think, right, Kelly? Yes.
That's
maybe
a great question. I don't know if the website is designed to enter hot dog picks. I think it is, though. I think they should be up there. Yeah. Yeah, Danny's going to confirm.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest, we always love having him on. We never have him on in studio, so we are treated to him. He either is being inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame later today, or he was alongside Howard Cosell as a Monday Night Football broadcaster at ABC in the 70s and 80s, wearing his beautiful yellow blazer. It's Tyler Shoemaker. Tyler, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I was just telling Kelly, I busted out a new blazer for you guys today. I know you guys like the style, so I busted a new one out for you today.
I feel honored, Gil. We've had Tyler on a lot of shows. I don't remember ever seeing the yellow, and he confirmed it. It's brand new, brand spanking new.
Tyler's here to talk WNBA with us. He is the creator of the T-Shoe Index, which, by the way, is also his Twitter handle. Can you, before we even get into your thoughts about the WNBA, can you just, for those who are landing on the league right now and casually are like taking in Caitlin Clark information, can we just do a little bit of sports talk radio here? And can you tell us what's the story here with Caitlin Clark, with the Indiana Fever? Where do you stand on her as a player? What's just the general sort of thumbnail about her in her career right now, as you see it?
Yeah, I think it's extremely interesting and a little concerning that the both the Fever and the league as a whole kind of don't do more to push her as the Michael Jordan of the league. I don't think she's the best player in the league. I think that's very clearly Asia Wilson. But I think as far as marketability and getting eyeballs, I mean, the numbers don't lie. All of the ratings, all of the top ratings are generally Fever games because of Caitlin Clark. But yet you'll see her, you know, missing from marketing pieces and graphics, and it's bizarre. So I think long term, I will be surprised if she finishes her career in Indiana.
Wow. Right now, the Fever 11-8, just a half game outside of the Liberty and Dream in the Eastern Conference, top of the Eastern Conference standings right now here in the WNBA season. Lynx, by the way, and Aces, the best two teams in the WNBA, both of those are in the West, 15-4 and 14-5 respectively. What is your pecking order, Tyler, in terms of your power rankings of teams right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now we've got clearly, I think there's a clear top three, and that's the Liberty, the Lynx, and the Aces. I think the Dream are a half step behind there. I think the Dream are a really good team, but I think if I had to take one of the Aces, Liberty, or Lynx versus the field, I'm definitely taking those three to win the championship.
And when it comes to the Aces specifically, so we saw this with them last year. They went on this terrible run. They were kind of left for dead. And then, well, not really a terrible run. It was just a bad sort of first half of the season. And then they went on this unbelievable run. And then that coasted it. And then that sort of, you know, sort of transferred into the playoffs. They end up winning the championship again. Is that where we kind of are with the Aces now, where like nothing in the regular season really matters ultimately, and that you can still count on them come postseason?
I think so. I talk about this a lot in all sports, championship fatigue. And when you have teams, you think back to like the Golden State Warriors of the 2015, 2016 era, those type of teams like the Aces, I think after you've had to climb the mountaintop so many times. Like, I think you just get tired and bored with the regular season, and understandably so. I've actually been pleasantly surprised with how well they've played in the regular season so far this year compared to last year. Because like you said, last year, people were kind of ringing some panic alarms about them. But this year, they've been very good. And the numbers show that against playoff teams, their game grades, their power rating is even higher. So they turn it on when they have to. So I definitely trust the Aces down the stretch.
Liberty beat them the other night by 8, but they didn't have Asia Wilson. Do they have Asia Wilson tonight against the Sky?
She's officially questionable tonight, but the market move tells me that she's probably not going to play tonight.
All right. How are you playing this?
I back the Aces still, even with the assumption that she's not going to play. I make the game Aces minus 15 with her. I would make it about minus 10 without her. I bet it this morning here at Circa at 7.5. I think it's dropped even more than that. I'm probably going to go add another unit on it here at whatever the line is now. I think it was down to maybe 6.5 last time I checked. So I'm probably going to add another unit on there because I think the Chicago Sky road numbers are horrific. They've been playing better lately in general, but they've also had a lot of home games. I think on the road, I think the Aces are going to win comfortably tonight.
See a couple sevens out there currently. I don't see any 6.5s. We're still 7.5 here at Circa, but it's 105, so a little bit cheaper on that.
Yep.
Tyler, have you gotten to the point where you enjoy betting the W more than you do your other sports like college football? Is it on par with those?
I do like it. I think for me, one, definitely compared to like the NBA, for instance, where like load management is such a thing and you don't know who's ever gonna play even when they're healthy. I think that makes the NBA unattractive to me as a bettor. In terms of like college football, I think there's so many more games in college football compared to the WNBA. I like that with the WNBA schedule, you know, I've only got to really look at 2 to 4 games really on any given day. And that I think that allows me to really dive deeper on those games and have a better have more conviction with the bets that I make.
Is there any bet right now to win the title? Any number that you like value wise? Is there any MVP bet that you like at this point?
No, I mean, we've talked about this before. You guys know I'm not huge on futures. I know you guys are. That's not a market I check on daily. You know, I'll take a peek periodically, but right now there's nothing that jumped off the board to me. I was talking with Stormy and JVT yesterday about the six player of the year, which is kind of an interesting race in the WNBA, because at one point it looked like Kennedy Carter was a lock for that. And then she kind of got in the doghouse with Becky Hammon, perhaps. We don't know what the deal is there. She's kind of had a short leash there. So I don't think I would bet on Kennedy Carter at this point. I'll be curious. I don't think Satu Sabally is listed currently, but the Liberty have moved her to the bench, and she's been playing phenomenal since they did that. So I'll be curious if she, I don't know what the qualifications are for sixth player of the year, but that's a name that I would keep my eye on if she enters the market.
Satu Sabally, okay. That's interesting. I love how you're like, I don't really pay attention to the futures markets like you guys do. But here's a sixth player of the year award that might actually be awesome value. Okay, well, we'll file that away. By the way, why are you in town? Maybe I should ask you, are you just chilling? Or are you doing something sports betting wise? What's going on?
Yeah, just a little 4th of July vacation. My brother flew out here and met me. So we're staying here at Circa for the weekend and just going to have a good time. We're going to the Aces game tonight. We went to the Aces game Sunday night against the Fever, which Caitlin Clark has already been ruled out for that game. So that's disappointing. But I think Asia's going to play Sunday from what it seems like. So excited for that nonetheless.
That's awesome. Okay, and so we end where we began. So Caitlin Clark, you don't think she's ending her career in Indiana. You think that's an off-season thing this year, as soon as early as that, or you think later?
I think probably later. I would be surprised if they made a move. Now, if she decided to demand a trade this offseason, I wouldn't blame her one bit. I don't know that's her personality, though. I would be surprised. I think she'll stick it out. I mean, they do have a nice trio there with Boston and Mitchell, so I think if they could just lean into her a little bit more, I think it could be fine. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Tyler, thank you so much, man. Appreciate the time. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Tyler Shoemaker, everybody, at @TShoeIndex on Twitter. Writes on the website all the time at VSiN.com. Coming back on
a-
Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Circus football contests are open, and you don't have to live in Las Vegas to play after your required in-person registration. Winner's Circle Proxy handles your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the country. Winner's Circle Proxy, VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. By the way, Circa did tweet, we were mentioning earlier, I sort of asked out loud, I was like, oh, are they ahead of pace? Circa did tweet out yesterday, they are ahead of pace in all three of their contests. Ooh. Circa Million, Circa Survivor, Circa Grandissimo. And what was their comment? Rumors of our demise have been extremely exaggerated.
good tweet.
Circa feeling it from some elsewhere, some other places.
That's a good clapback tweet, though. I like it.
Yeah. We get tweets beating the book. Your SF garbage man. He has a picture. He's the city from the view of South City. He's taking a picture of San Francisco. I see you, SF garbage man. How you doing, man? Good to thanks for chiming in on the show. Rick Zabski. VSiN's own, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
He says, LFO checking in saying, what about us, summer girls? And you had a great comment responding to that saying, now we're getting a little too close to the boy band.
Okay, so no, right? Rick's absolutely right. A song that belongs in this conversation, but we are drifting close to 90s boys band conversation now.
Yeah.
We're slowly getting out of the 90s pop rock genre here.
Leisure Suit Kobe, I remember Texas Roadhouse was taking their sweet time sending a gift box out to Greg Peterson. Maybe they accidentally sent it to Greg Peterson's evil twin, Tyler Shoemaker, he says. Disclaimer, I'm sure he's not evil. The Friday, all jokes, gotta go. It's Friday.
I did a bad job with Tyler coming in studio today. He had, as usual, he'll send me all of his dunking videos or tag me on Twitter whenever he puts one on Twitter. I think it was like a week ago. He had one where he broke a rim, Gil. I should have pulled that in for today. I know.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I swear to God. Now, if you go find the video, you will be like, well, it's kind of like one of those like janky garage stand up basketball hoops that people have in their driveway. So it's not like he was like in some gym pulling down something, but still, he broke a rib.
He broke a rib? Dunked,
yes, rim. And the rim
I was gonna
came
say.
Off.
Yeah. That's what I thought you said. Yeah, broke a rim. Okay. Failure on my part to ask him about that. I had no idea. And then J-Rod, this is great when people are listening on delay and they always catch a little comment. This is a great comment by you earlier on the show where we're talking about the hot dog eating contest tomorrow. And you, because you're a ridiculous human being, said we should move it indoors. And J-Rod goes just off, laughed out loud at Kelly yelling, move the contest indoors.
Hey, man, it did get delayed a couple years ago because of rain. You know, like that's real. But yeah, this has become one of the biggest topics with the hot dog contest here in recent years. It's so hot and how much it affects the eaters.
I do love the delayed response to comments where you're like, did anybody catch what was just said? my favorite was someone tweeting the next day at me when I said, I don't know what I was talking about. I said, first prize, a day with Todd Wishnev. Second prize, 2 days with Todd Wishnev. Somebody after the fact was like, hey, I caught that. Nathan's hot dog eating contest. So let's recap all the bets. Tomorrow, Coney Island, Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Joey Chestnut going for his 18th victory in this. The way that I'm ending up playing it again, and Kelly had the same ones, I think. So 95 degrees is expected. I'm going Mickey Sudo on the ladies' side, under 39. Still ladies, right, Kelly? Mm-hmm. I call them ladies.
Sure.
Mickey Sudo, even though they're pounding hot dogs down their gullets, Mickey Sudo under 39 is my play on the lady side. And then I'm taking Chestnut with Mickey Sudo combined under 110. Those are the plays tomorrow in Coney Island. What are the chances? Cause you were just alluding to this off air. What are the chances we're talking about it right now, but then you wake up tomorrow on July 4th and you completely forget about this.
Like I don't 80%. I swear this is the one sporting event. The only one I can think of that when it rolls around every year, I think, man, it kind of sucks we're on the West Coast because they just started so early, and it's cool super that it's Coney early. Island noon. You know, the guys get going, but the women even go before that. So you're talking about be on your couch and ready to watch some bets going at 8 a.m.
Yeah. Had one tennis play today, by the way, after our 4-2 yesterday with four dogs hitting. I'm on Barbara Krejcikova -3 games versus Nikola Bartunkova. Krejcikova has won the first set 6-3. So if we win the second set by any score, we are a winner in that match. Of course, if Krejcikova loses the second set, still chance to get it in the third, but a good start to this bet. Krejcikova up 3 on Bartunkova after one set. And then Iga to win it all, 10-1, still in play, but Iga takes on Alex Ayala in round 3 tomorrow. That's going to be a tough one. Alex Ayala got the best of her in Miami last year out of nowhere, and that sort of started the career of Alex Ayala. She's always tough. And then the Red Sox have only played one game so far in the month of July. They're 0-1, still got them most wins July, 80-1. Let's go, Sox. Let's get this done. Let's play some baseball today. Let's get a win. You, sir.
Let's go. All right, we got a lot. Danny, where do you want to start? You want to start in order? Okay, soccer. Let's go. Hey, Chris Felica and Paul Carr send their plays. It was homework for me last night. I don't know about you, Gil. I sat down for 45 minutes and combed through books and numbers and compared and what did I want to play for this weekend. So I got all my weekend soccer bets are ready to go. Starting here with this first game today, Egypt-Australia, draw plus 190. Going to roll with that. Felica, I think you're playing it a much smarter way, going Argentina 1-0, 2-0, or 3-0. I'm just going to land on the 2-0 and roll the dice with that one this afternoon, Gil. That pays out plus 450, Argentina to win 2-0. Morocco money line, that's tomorrow, minus 130 against Canada. Riding with Paul on that one. And then I went away from both of these guys on Norway, Brazil. I decided to play both teams to score, yes, minus 137. And then definitely draw in England, Mexico on Sunday night.
I too today am going to play the draw in the first and third games as well. So Egypt, Australia draw. By the way, the 0-0 score in that is the lowest I have seen in the tournament. Just $5 if you get 0-0.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then I'm going Ghana, Colombia tonight, draw plus 340. Expecting Ghana to just pack it in, as all of our World Cup guests suggested. You also have your hot dog bets. I'm sorry.
I do. Yep. Chestnut Pseudo under 110.5. That's the only one I played. I definitely do. I lean under on both of the individual ones, but I'm just going to play the combo one under 110.5. And then we had our NFL bets here from the past few days. Panthers under 7.5 wins for me. Browns under 6.5 wins. And then Bills to win the AFC East minus 125.
All right. And then Kelly's off-the-cuff parlay.
Off-the-cuff parlay. My Independence Day Eve five-leg parlay. For full transparency, I did not actually bet this, but I got a tweet. So we did a Sabalenka, but she's already started, right? So like you're at least got to lose that leg, or I'm assuming she started. Maybe she hasn't. Sabalenka, Krejcikova.
Yes. She's up a break.
Okay, you're gonna have to cross off then one. Becomes a four-legger, and it doesn't pay out quite as well. Krejcikova, money line. Egypt-Australia draw. Argentina, money line. You could lay a goal and a half with Argentina. I think that's probably pretty safe, too. And then Yankees, money line. And that paid out. The five-legger paid out a little over 9-1.
You're off to a good start on both Sabalenka and Krejcikova. Off to a good start on both of those. Okay, and then guests today on the show always like to recap all of their plays from earlier. We started out with Chris Felica. Was Chris our first guest?
Actually, we had Noops up first, and he laid 4.5 games with Sabalenka, so that one's already underway. And then Maria Sakkari, I know you said you were looking at as well, right? Moneyline plus 110 tomorrow against Catalina.
I don't know about that. That's a tough match. They both overperformed their numbers, so I'd have no idea what to do with it.
Gotcha. Okay. And then, his two NBA futures, Hawks and Magic, both to win the Southeast Division. And Gil, real quick, I didn't get a chance to comment on that. I don't hate those plays at all. I do think there are two teams that I've been thinking about here the past couple of days that I think are going to be really underrated heading into this season. After a season of being overrated, last summer I wanted nothing to do with the Houston Rockets or the Orlando Magic. I have a feeling I will be on overs on both of their win totals this year because I think that we went over those Eastern Conference odds yesterday. The Magic are, what, like 11th in the East right now after we were all sitting here a year ago being like, whoa, this team's got all this talent together. Watch out for them. I think they're going to be a good play for over their win total this year.
Tyler Shoemaker is on the Aces minus the points tonight against the Chicago Sky. And then Chris Felica today, tomorrow, Sunday, today at the World Cup. Australia, Egypt, both teams to score. Yes, a draw as well at plus 190. Then Argentina, Cape Verde, correct scores. He's got a band of them, 1-0, 2-0, 3-0.
Yep.
Colombia, Ghana, under 2.5 goals. First half draw and the draw for the full game. Then tomorrow, doubleheader, round of 16. Canada, Morocco, first half draw. And Hakimi, over 2.5 shots in that game. Then Paraguay, France, over 1.5 goals in the first half. Michael Olise, 1+ goals or assist. And then France to win to nil. And then Sunday, a couple bets in the Brazil-Norway game. England-Mexico, he's got three games, including the three bets, including the draw. And England to win in penalties at 750, plus 750 in that one. Paul Carr with Morocco tomorrow. Norway double chance on Sunday. And Mexico-England draw on Sunday. Prop Points is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.